Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be in God's house.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people said to me, I went to Dallas on Thursday for a Christian Raiders conference, and a lot of people were saying, well, when are you going back? And I said, Saturday night, have to be back for Sunday morning church. And wow, that's, you know, because there's a lot going on today, although it ends around noontime, but there's a lot packed in today, and you're going to miss the big party on Saturday night and all that stuff. And I said, you know, I'm in a small church, and if even one person is not here, they're missed. So I need to be back in church. I'm really glad I did, because, oh, if I had to wait till next Sunday to tell you what I'm going to tell you now, I would have burst. I know I would have burst. This conference, I want to share this with you. This conference was such a God thing, ordained from before the beginning of the earth. Before I was even born, He knew that this was going to happen. And yet, we look at these God things with such amazement and we say, wow, you know, when you consider all the little dominoes that had to fall in place for everything to come up to this point. This conference, first of all, I went on the conference website looking for a roommate because I didn't want to have to pay for the hotel by myself. And I found this woman. I found several others. They all wanted people, first of all, who didn't snore, and I couldn't guarantee that. So I have my moments, like most of us probably do. So I found this woman, and she didn't say it, you know, had to be a non-snoring roommate. And so I thought, okay, this will work. And so I
didn't.
Right, and it didn't say that she snored either. So, but anyway, so Thursday night, you know, we're getting, there's two beds in the room, and we're getting ready to go to bed. And I said, look, if I start to snore tonight, throw something at me. Throw a pillow or throw a shoe or something at me, and I'll end up turning over, you know. And she said, praise God. She said, I was scared to death to fall asleep before you do, because she said, sometimes I snore. So I was like, okay. But let me tell you this God, these two big God things I saw at this conference. The first one was with my roommate. We sat up talking late into Thursday night. We sat up talking late Friday night. And she said, you know, I did some writing years ago. I wrote poetry. And she said, I sold it to a company that has their main office in the little town I live in Indiana. It's a company called Dixon's. And what they do is they take things like mugs and pens and plaques and artwork like this, and they put scripture verses on it. And sometimes they put poems on it, you know, Christian-based poems. So she said that the owner of this company actually went to her church at the time, and so he had asked her if she'd write some poetry for their gift line. And so she said, sure. She said, you know, a lot of it was kind of occupational-based. And, you know, she said, I wrote like a nurse's prayer and a fireman's prayer and an optometrist prayer. And she's got these all there on little bookmarks, and she's kind of going through. And she said, and a musician's prayer. And I said, hold on, musician's prayer? Let me see that. And so she shows it to me, and I'm reading down through it, and it's not getting familiar until I get to the last two verses. May others see your beauty in everything they hear, or in everything I do. And I'm like, that's our song. She said, what do you mean? I said, our piano player received a mug a few years ago for Christmas, and these two verses were on it. Nobody's name on it. We didn't know who wrote it. We knew it came through Dixon's because that name was on the bottom of the mug or whatever. But I said, you know, she fell in love with this prayer, and she wrote music for it. She brought it to church. She introduced it to the worship team. And I said, oh, I've got a second verse for that. And I wrote a second verse. And we sing it in our church. She said, no. And I said, yeah. She said, man, sing it for me. So I had to sing it for her. A little off key, I'm sure. A little off tempo. You know me. I'm loud, but I'm not very good. But anyway, so and she's like tears in her eyes. She said, I am so honored to think that somebody would take my little poem and put music to it. I never thought of it as a song. And so I, you know, kind of shared with her that, you know, I used to write what I thought was poetry for God, too, until He told me it's not poems, they're love songs.
Yes.
And that's why I started bringing them into Gene when he told me that. They're love songs. And so that's why we've been writing all this music. And so we get up the next morning, we go downstairs, and we're still oohing and aahing over this God thing. And she shares it with a lady that's a mutual friend of ours. And this lady says, I'm getting goosebumps while you're talking. I'm still getting goosebumps right from the top of my head down to my knees. I can feel them, you know, in waves. Every time I even think about this, she said, that is so God. So she says, would you have your, you know, your worship team do it, sing it, and send it to me. I want to hear it. So that's going to, she lives in Wichita, Kansas. The lady that wrote the original verse, Ramona, her name is Ramona Cecil from Seymour, Indiana. A copy's going to go to Indiana. We don't know where all this music is going sometimes, right? We think it's just here, just this little 8 or 10 or 12 or 20 people on a good day. We don't know where it's going. I mean, she was so encouraged. And then the second God thing. So that's the first one. Now, okay. Is there anybody dead in here who didn't get goosebumps over that?
No.
You. Well, I don't pay attention to you anyway. Yeah, so I rest my case. Okay, let's play it. Patrick, would you pull out the overhead so we can sing it? It's up in the six. Oh, no, never mind. I have it here. I think. No, I don't. I don't have it. Can you pull it, Patrick? 680? We should sing it. Actually written that second verse so that it applied more to everybody, not just to musicians. But here's the second God thing that happened. In this conference, they set up appointments for you with editors and agents. And Patrick and I, I still do believe, you know, I try very hard that if it doesn't look like God, then not to say, well, I guess it wasn't God if I thought it was to begin with, if that makes sense. We believe that it was important for me to go to this conference. We believed it was a God thing for me to go, and he provided the money for us to go. It was an investment in the writing. And I have heard a word from God that says this is the year for the fiction, as opposed to the devotionals and the nonfiction work we've been doing. So I stand on that word, and that was part of the reason why we went to this conference, because all that was there was novelists, fiction writers. And so I had an appointment with an agent, and it was like 9-something in the morning. So I would go into the prayer room that morning. They had a prayer room set up like for 24 hours a day. They would go in, and I was by myself, and I was kind of just praying over the conference, praying over the people today and their appointments, and I just said, God, just give them some excitement, create some excitement in the people who are here today, and show them a little bit of what you have planned for them. And instantly, I started getting these butterflies in my stomach. And I thought, ooh, already, you know, there's an excitement building there. And so I said, thank you, Lord, thank you for that. And he said, you know, if I showed you even a little bit of what I had planned for you, it would scare you to death and you wouldn't do it. It wouldn't come about. And I said, okay, that's fine. I have this excitement. So I started out the day with excitement. We went to praise and worship. The first thing in the morning, they always have praise and worship. And one of the songs that we sang was, Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm walking through the wilderness. In this, it talks about, like, it's the dark side then, right? But the chorus is that blessed be your name. No matter what happens, basically, blessed be your name, Jesus. So I'm singing that song, and God just suddenly, I hear him, and he says, it's easy to praise me when things are looking good. Will you praise me when things don't look so good? And I'm like, okay, I choose to praise you, Lord. The song ends, and I sit down. Everybody else is still standing to do praise and worship. And I write a song. The song is titled, I Choose. And that's basically what it says. I choose to praise you no matter what it looks like. That's the gist of the song. So that's going through my mind. Praise and worship is over, and I go to this agent appointment. Got my hopes pinned on this agent. What I want her to say is, this is a great idea. I'll pay you to be my client. You know, that kind of a thing. And I sit down and I go through the outline, the premise of my book and of the series. And she looks at me and she says, well, that's a really boring idea. That's a boring occupation, which was like slapping me in the face because my hero is an accountant. So that's a boring occupation, and nobody wants to hear about that. And programmers are boring, and because that was another main character. I don't know where I got the idea for this from, but anyway, that the husband is a programmer. That's a boring, 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 boring. Nobody wants to hear it. I'm not even going to ask for your business card. This is how I said, okay, well, maybe I didn't explain it very well. See, and I launch into it again. And she says, no, it's still boring. It's boring, boring, boring. And that was her words. It's boring, boring, boring. And I've got tears in my eyes. This is a passion God's given me to write this series. And it's like she's just whooshed. And I said, well, thank you very much. I shake her hand and I leave. And I'm like, oh, God, don't let anybody ask me, how did it go? Don't let anybody ask me, did she ask for your stuff? Because I have tears in my eyes as I'm walking down the hallway. And, you know, I had to go into my class where I was, you know, not a leader, but I was a participant in the class, and I had to put on a smiley face. You know, something that lasted about 5 minutes, and then it was like, who does she think she is? What is she, the God of agents? Is she bigger than God who has said, this is the year for the fiction? This is something I've given you a passion for. I have enabled you to go to this conference and meet these people and take these classes. Is she bigger than that? What does she know? And this class I go into, the teacher is there, the instructor is there, and she said, you know, Stephen King, who I'm sure none of us have ever heard of, wrote 5 full novels before he ever got one accepted, and not one of the first 5 has ever been published. The Left Behind series was rejected by 6 Christian publishers who've been kicking themselves in the butt ever since. Right? John Grisham, Dean Koontz, big names. Both of those are Christians, by the way, who don't even write in the Christian marketplace. They were like John Grisham was rejected, like 60 publishers turned him down. And he has published I don't know how many millions of books. All of his are million copy bestsellers, right? So it was a God thing. He set me up. He took me to the prayer room. He took me into praise and worship. He took me into what looked like discouragement, and then I went into this class. And then after that, we went back in for more praise and worship, and the keynote speaker says that God has given you a passion that'll get you past the rejection. And you know, God has given us all a passion. We all face rejection of one kind or another, and yet he set you up for it. Because you got to choose. Before it ever happens, you got to choose. Will I choose to praise you no matter what it looks like? Or am I going to, as Bill says, get down in the mully grubs and say, well, I guess that wasn't God I heard. I must not have heard right. You know, I got something wrong with my hearing somehow. Or the word that somebody else gave me had to be wrong because it sure doesn't look like God. I encourage you. When you hear a word for him, stick by it. Yep. That's why I had you write that in your Bible last week. How can you dispute what God has told you if you see it in front of you, in your Bible, written in the front of your Bible? This is the promise God's given me. The next time someone cuts your legs out from underneath you over whatever it is, remember the promise God has given you. Amen. Remember that. Yes. Yes, I was not signed up to see this other particular agent, and I sat at breakfast with her. And then at the end of breakfast, I said, well, would it be okay if I sent you the proposal for my mystery series? And she said, sure, that'd be great. So we're standing there exchanging business cards, and then she says, hey, I got a better idea. Why don't you meet with me? I've got lots of appointments available. So I actually did get to meet with her, which is like whenever anybody else said, well, who are you meeting with? I said, well, I'm meeting with this one, and this one. Three? How did you get three? Nobody else got three, or very, unless you kind of, you know. I said, she's got lots of appointments. You want to meet with her? Go meet with her, you know. And she did. After that, her schedule started getting booked up when people found that they could meet with her. But it was. And while, you know, a little bit of conflict of interest there, I think, because she and her husband also write cozy mysteries. But she's still willing to look at what I have. So, you know, that was another, yeah, there was all these God things. But the whole thing with the roommate was, we just clicked instantly, you know. And
that was an
accident of God. I know. He just tossed some names in a hat. He said, oh, yeah, let Donna room with her. She'll get along maybe. And if she doesn't, doesn't matter. But, yeah, and it's like, this is the kind of a feeling is a new long-distance best friend kind of a feeling from her, you know. And anyway, so I wanted to share that because God's still at work. He's at work in me, man. I know I'm a big work in progress. It needs lots of work. But I think, you know, he's at work in every one of us here. And he speaks to every one of us here, all in different ways. And it might be through a song during praise and worship. And it might be in the quiet of a prayer room somewhere. And it might even be in a big rejection that just cuts our legs out from underneath us. And it doesn't matter. He still speaks. And it's still a God thing, right? And he is out for our hope. He's out for good plans for us.
Yeah.
He has hopes and a future
yes.
for us.
Yes.
Not our destruction.
Yeah.
So, look at your bulletin. Make sure you make a note of it on your calendar. And be there when there's something going on.
I am not cutting her off.
Go ahead.
I have one more thing to say about this coffee cup that Donna mentioned. When we first owned this building and had services here, I came to church one Sunday. It was at Christmas time. And this cup was sitting on a table back there with a bow around it and a tag on it that said, Merry Christmas, Jean. Didn't say who it was from. Richard, did you give me that cup?
I think so, yes.
Okay, now I know. I just suspected that maybe it was Stan and Connie, but it was Richard. That's not the first cup he's given me, not the last one. I wish you'd email that story to Stan and Connie. I think they'd get a blessing out of that.